Blog Talk Radio.
One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all.
back in the studio, back on the grind. I'm living every minute trying to nurse another line. Does this rhyme with that? No, it doesn't give a scratch. Add this instead of that, now you got another track. Back in the backstage waiting to perform, working on the words, words waiting to be born. Warning from the swarm of fans waiting for your turn. Freeing in my head, that's the cry for the storm. Back in the battle, raps tracks like my scars, and my raps like the battle axe, rap for the stars. Every word is ammunition and I'm fitting, hitting hard. Written, kicking vicious systems, sticking rippers, pick apart. Sacrifice is my ambition and my reason on this earth. Grab a mic, it's my religion and the beat is my church. Verses are my sermons and my service is a prayer, and my prayers are getting answered every day that I'm here. This is my life and I'm doing what I please. I'ma write these lines, I'ma spit these freeze. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One goof, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. This is hip-hop, it's the essence of my soul. The reason that I'm here, the reason that I go. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One goof, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. Back for the fans, fam, damn, I never leave. Back for the late nights, right until I sleep. Back for the line that I never got to write, because I didn't have a pen when it came into my sight. Back for the pen, back for the pad, and I'm back for every opportunity I never had. Back for the gift that I will never waste, or mistakes that I take to the grave when I break. Back for the squad, back for the fam, back for cardiac, tragic in the camp. Back for situ magic, wisdom in the fam, and every fan that believed in me, I never gave a chance. Back for the love, for the craft that I hold, for the fire that's within and the ice that is cold. Back for my boys and I'm back for their life, and I'm back for a promise that I made to my wife. This is my life and I'm doing what I please. I'ma write these lines, I'ma spit these freeze. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. This is hip-hop, it's the essence of my soul. The reason that I'm here, the reason that I go. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all.
Shine on me, God is shining. Came straight out of the 1920s, a goddess of the silver era. I fell in love with you before we were introduced. Come on, baby, let's go and blow them all away. Shine on me, gotta shine.
I once will. Know that I love you, even if they don't care, you know I will. You gotta be my girl.
With you before we were introduced, you gotta walk this way and tell me the same.
Shine on me, gotta shine on me.
I'm starting to pace, my nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face, hands take, can't escape this decision I make, heart racing, my faith says this is my fate, I just brace and I take in the face of adversity, tasting this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me, gain honor, bomber, my pain stronger, fame smarter, street smarter, train harder, can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing, I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving, all heart leave these cowards on cold, I'm hot not to mention all the power I hold, keep moving, keep training, headstrong, be patient, meet them head to head, I don't care if it's the least safest, not stopping, have a promise to prove, I'm a fighter, it's not an option to lose.
Wait a minute, yo, I'm the whole plane. I'm kind of the shit, yo, so let me explain. Deep as the moonlight, sangalo, dímelo de ese jeone. Esa la jeva, la buena, la chula, la quiera latina, más buena, la pura. Aquí en la playa bailando el flow. Aquí por el fuego, solveo el glow. Got me on speakers, it's Cartier show. Back to the disco, we letting it go. Gonna keep it going like a rumor girl, pass it on. This type of team, gotta go and get your pilot's license. Cause you up in the clouds, loving my style, girl, getting it wild. Up in the woods, little riding hood child. Dance with the wolf, cause I'm howling out loud. Getting real hot, sweat drip dripping. Getting real close, girl, feeling that rhythm.
Sunday afternoon, it's Shelly Nunchuck from the Shelly Nunchuck Show with my little furball co-host, Jackie Chan Kitty, and little Rocky Balboa, and they're actually sleeping now. Oh, boy. I got in late last night from filming. The funny thing is, I could not find my phone. I thought I left the phone on set, and the little kitten found it. I was like, what are you playing with? And the kitten found it. I guess Kitty's a good for one thing. So anyway, welcome, welcome, welcome to this lovely Sunday afternoon. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And it does seem like it's a really cloudy day today. So, you know, you try to do what you can, but, you know, the best you can on every days like this. And it's like one of those lazy days. And I tried falling back to sleep. I got in late last night, and I was up, you know, trying to talk to people this morning through email, and I couldn't contact because it's still too early in some places. So I think after my radio show, I'm going to crash and go back to bed for a couple hours. I don't know if you can tell how, like, seemingly tired I could be right now. You know, I still try to, you know, the show must go on. But, you know, the way my show's been going, I'm very lucky, and I just wanted to take the time out, you know, to thank people from the bottom of my heart, you know, to my listeners, my supporters, to my guests. Thank you so much in supporting my show. And it just seemed like almost 85,000 people listen to my show. I'll post the stats on my Facebook page. But, you know, if it wasn't, you know, for my listeners, supporters, my show would not be a show like this. I think I need some water. I should be sitting up because I'm actually laying down trying to do the show half asleep. Maybe I need more coffee or something. And yes, and I still haven't eaten breakfast yet. I should try to eat after the show. Or I can actually try to cook during the show. I don't know if that's really a good idea. Anyway, one thing I am, I actually, I'm one of the board advisors for the Hollywood Stuntman Hall of Fame. I was welcomed on board by John G. Hagner, who is the CEO, the founder of the Hollywood Stuntman Hall of Fame, which everything is actually now in storage. And I will be reading this a couple times on today's show. Let me see. I'm just trying to bring this up. Give me one moment, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I'm just bringing it up now. Okay. Let me see what this here. Okay. The Hollywood Stuntman Hall of Fame, anybody can check out the website. About the museum, hundreds of exhibits and rare artifacts. Yeah, let's see. Someone, I'm just reading this off my Facebook page. And right here about the museum. Hundreds of exhibits of rare artifacts and memorabilia, stars and stunt performers of motion picture and television featuring personal items of John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart, Steve McQueen, and stunt legends of the movies including Yakima Kunut, Cliff Lyons, Dave Sharp, Ronnie Rendell, and hundreds of others. There are over 350 concrete blocks that contain the footprints and handprints, as well as signatures of many of the greats of the cinema, a collection that outranks those that are located at the Mann's Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. This rare collection had taken its founder, John G. Hagner, more than 65 years to gather and preserve him for posterity, featuring parts of costumes, weapons, stunt equipment, photos and paintings and drawings, hats and caps, boots and shoes, and hundreds of items from the movies and television, plus videos, films, and film clips. The Hall of Fame has been in existence since 1973 and became a nonprofit organization in 1984, dedicated to preserving the history of the stunt profession and to honoring stunt people the world over. Currently, the Hall of Fame is without a home and needs financial support to enable them to afford a building which to welcome visitors. Anyone interested in participating in this effort may make a tax-deductible donation to the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame and mail it to 81 West Cane Creek Boulevard. 81 West Cane, K-A-N-E, Creek, C-R-E-E-K, Boulevard, number 12, Moab, M-O-A-B, Utah, 84532. For more information, contact John Hagner at 435-260-2160. So I will be bringing this up again on the show, and I want to see what's the next song I want to play, and coming up next is Feel by Laz and Kath, and I'm going to play some more music on today's show. There's no scheduled guests, but the show must go on, and I will have some more guests being lined up. So here we go with Feel, Laz and Kath, my Triceptor Studio family back home in Boston. I actually had the honor of being in the video a little bit in this one, so it's a good feel, good song. It's Feel by Laz and Kath. Triceptor Studio, here we go.
Yeah, Laz Ritz, Cata B, Miss Smith and Envy, for the little 9, y'all, yeah, check this out, yeah, Triceptor Studio, check it, yeah, yeah. Yo, chillin' in the club, toastin' it up, having some fun, just enjoying the love. I saw you walking by, looking all upset. That was a cue for me, just the end of the set. To take you from your low, bring you to your high. Tell you positive things like how you so fly. After the club, meet me at the ride. We'll go to the beach, count the stars in the sky. In the meantime, tell me about your nine. You're the finest thing that's dressing all wide. Clothes you got on is a major turn on. Me looking at your mind is an instant dog on. Yeah, God, it's the way how you touching me. Sending me a vibe right through my body. You're so attractive and I'm so addictive. Yeah, that's something different, I'm dying to get with it.
Ooh, I like the way you always touching on me. Ooh, I like the way you put yours on my body. Ooh, I like the way you always on my mind. Ooh, I like the way how you do it every time. Ooh, ha, ha, ooh, ha, ha, ooh, ha. You just make me feel.
That's a prime time player. Used to chew girls up like now and later. Used to have 10 shorties all up in the jag. Used to bang them all out like they never really had. I was going buck wild, I really didn't care. Had the blinged up loops plus the line up here. So fresh, so clean, y'all can help to stare. Living like Liberace with rockets to spare. Till I saw you, you opened up my eyes. The way you showed me love, it was definitely a surprise. Never ever met a girl who kept it so right. Never ever met a girl who matched my left or right. Now it's just me and you, let's play one. One-on-one. What we playing for, she said, I said for your heart. Accept the invitation, let's have some fun. From the nighttime sky to the early morning sunlight.
How can I approach you on this? You make my whole heart to flip. When you're near me, I get chills. Without you around, I'm going ill. I'd probably die if you were mine. Fuck you for murder, you're a crime. Looking in your eyes, I feel I'm fine. But do that now, don't waste no time. Ha, ha, ooh, ah.
Do your thing and I'm kinda pumped. Said you know it's Thirsty Thursday. About the full play, you said no way. I said okay, maybe later. I gotta pick my game by the elevator. Thump thump, have some grab in the hand. And I don't mind a girl with superior games.
You got me going crazy.
Gentlemen, ain't coming at you sleep. I know that this here is special. Eye contact and the lick of the lips. I'm over the hips. Got me about to trip like the clumsiest kid. Hey, game and a bang of the chest. Party don't rest. Till I finesse the drop of the dress. Let the niggas see it, cause you know I'm the best.
Thought that you had me, boy. Met you at the after party. Not gonna do nothing, boy. Call me when I leave the lobby.
I know that you feel me, girl. Met you at the after party.
Cause I'm rocking like a star tonight. If I could fly, if I could fly, I'd spread my wings out and take off in the sky.
Money, that's all I know. I'm ballin' out, girl, cause I'm so
fly.
I know, oh, you don't know no one
like me.
It might be that I'm so, oh, close to the ground and I'm down here dealing with real life. It make me wanna take you by the hand like
right.
And now we taking off, just as quick as your clothes. I'll take you higher, baby, just so you know I'm a rider. And if I'm on the road, you know I'm thinking about you till I fly back home. I'm telling you I wanna be the
kind of guy
that I always wanna be there for you
tonight.
Go through the stormiest weather just so we can be together.
If I could fly, if I could fly, I'd spread my wings out and take off in the sky. If I could fly, if I could fly, I'd soar through these clouds watching planes go by.
If you wanna see a star,
oh.
I could be a Superman in the air. I could rescue you. I could let you hold my hand. I will let you go almost anywhere if you wanna go far. Cloud nine, only for the night. You look good and I wanna make you mine. But about time, I gotta catch a flight. I hate to say it, baby girl, but your time's up.
Time's up.
I guess you out of luck, girl.
I'll be back and we can travel the world.
Cause baby, you ain't gotta worry about a thing. I could put you under my wings.
If I could fly, if I could fly, I'd spread my wings out and take off in the sky. If I could fly, if I could fly, I'd soar through these clouds watching planes go by. And as I go by,
I'll be looking down on you. You'll be looking up at me. Soon you will see we'll be free. Spread my wings.
And that was Tony Jane, If I Could Fly. I'm actually supporting the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame, and I'm bringing it up once again so that we can actually, I'm going to actually read here exactly what it says on the site. Just once again, give me one moment because I am bringing it up. Okay. And I just had it. I just had the, you can actually go to the website, but I'm going to read exactly what it says directly from the website. Give me one moment here. Okay. And if you actually go there, once again, about the museum, hundreds of exhibits of rare artifacts and memorabilia of stars and stunt performers in motion picture and television featuring personal items of John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart, Steve McQueen, and stunt legends of the movies, including Yakima Kunut, Cliff Lyons, Dave Sharp, Ronnie Rendell, and hundreds of others. There are over 350 concrete blocks that contain the footprints and handprints as well as signatures of many of the greats of the cinema. A collection that ranks those that are located at the Nance Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. This rare collection had taken its founder, John G. Hagner, more than 65 years to gather and preserve for posterity, featuring parts of costumes, weapons, stunt equipment, photos and paintings and drawings, hats and caps, boots and shoes, and hundreds of items from the movies and television, plus videos, films, and film clips. The Hall of Fame has been in existence since 1973 and became a nonprofit organization in 1984 dedicated to preserving the history of the stunt profession and to honoring stunt people the world over. Currently, the Hall of Fame is without a home and needs financial support to enable them to afford a building in which to welcome visitors. Anyone interested in participating in this effort may make a tax-deductible donation to the Hollywood Stuntmen's Hall of Fame and mail it to 81 West Cane Creek Boulevard, 81 West Cane, K-A-N-E, Creek, C-R-E-E-K, Boulevard, number 12, Moab, M-O-A-B, Utah, 84532. For more information, contact John Hagner at 435-260-2160. And his email address is johnhagner@gmail.com, J-O-H-N-H-A-G-N-E-R, @gmail.com. All right, let me see what else I have in the queue here for music. Let's see. I am going to play, it's a song I do open up my show. It's called Battle Song. And for all the fighters out there, which I will be bringing up and talking about something else that I will be bringing up. I didn't put the pictures in the queue, but it will be a special foundation that I do take to heart. I will be reading about that as soon as I come back. But this is Battle Song by Pisces Project, World of Horrors, Accord de Lisa, and his beautiful, lovely wife, Sonari. Okay, and I'm back. And another thing I wanted to bring up, it's actually a charity foundation, which I do tend to take this one a little bit more to heart. A woman that I would have called my niece. I have never met her, but in my extended family, Sarah Joy, She actually had passed away due to losing her fight with cancer. And this foundation is growing slowly, and what it does help out with families that are dealing with terminal cancer, whether it need to try to help out with the bills or, you know, for outings, because you just don't know what, an outing could do for someone, whether it's like a day at a spa or something like that. I mean, it's something that is a wonderful, wonderful foundation. I'm actually going to the website itself, and this is what it says on the website, the Sarah Joy Foundation. Thank you to everyone that is joining and liking the site for the Sarah's Joy Foundation. As all of you know, Sarah was always full of life, love, and warmth up until she lost her long, painful battle with cancer. This foundation is my way of honoring her as best as I can, and this must be my nephew, Eric. Through this foundation, my vision is to create a way to help families and cancer patients enjoy their life as much as they can. Sarah, in the last year, did more travel and activities than people do in a lifetime. She went jet skiing, parasailing, hiking, golfing, saw every beach on the East Coast, the list goes on and on. She did all of this while being told she was too sick to even get out of bed. Too many families make their lives a hospital bed and four walls because of the illness, and that, for Sarah, was never an option. Through raising money, and this is Eric once again, I would like to offer families the same joy that Sarah and I had before she passed. It is amazing what a day at a spa could do or a roller coaster ride with your kids. Having cancer does not mean death, and people shouldn't mourn someone when they are alive. Enjoy life. Love the summer breeze, the winter snow, the leaves in the fall, or the flowers of the spring. We will be organized on fundraisers of all kinds, shapes, and sizes. Stay tuned. God bless. And it does say, sincerely, Eric. Husband, president, co-founder of Sarah Joy Foundation. And I'm actually posting this up on Facebook once again. Trying to bring this up. Maybe I can put it on Google. I think I can actually post it on Google. I'm actually sharing this on my Google page. Twitter account. I'm actually sharing this on my Twitter account. Okay, I have posted it up here. All right, now back to some music here. Once again, I'm trying to see what I haven't played in the queue. I will be getting more music. I'm just playing the stuff that I actually do have now. With the Sarah Joy Foundation, once again, I do take this to heart because Sarah was a beautiful, wonderful young woman, and she actually was pregnant with her second child, and that's why she really didn't want to, have treatments because she was afraid it would hurt her unborn son. So if you want to check that out, it's the Sarah Joy Foundation. You can find it on Facebook. You can find it, the website. And I even posted to make it easy. If you find Shelly Nunchucks, you'll find it. I just posted it on my wall here. Let's see. What songs haven't I played? Okay, this is by Ancient Sage, my friend Rick, all the way from New Zealand. It's called I'm Cheap. And I'm going to play a couple of those songs. I'll be back.
Together for your fellow men, because the tax man is coming. give you some love, and that's all you need in a world that takes it all. I'm cheaper than cheap, but I give a lot of love, and that's all you need in a world that takes it all. I'm so cheap, I don't pay for anything for most people. Money is everything.
Saved my life when I was a wreck. It told me to take the noose off my neck. Taught me respect, hustle, collect a check. Just a young prospect with the perfect intellect. The object to control my fate and bring it to you raw with no debate. I dealt with the hate, so I have no fear. I roll through you pussies like a pap smear. I'm a reservoir dog, I'll take you right here. So come on with that, get the fuck out of here. Beware, I swear, I'm ready, no lie. When it come to rap, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to fly, but I'm hungry as hell. And I always got the streets if this record don't sell. So come on, God, keep blessing me. In my heart, the rap game is my destiny. I think better when the pressure's on, and I'm broke as a joke, facing a storm. I work harder in my room, depressed with this eviction notice, facing homelessness. I'm at my best right after I fail, and a judge tells me I gotta go back to jail. I'm real when I say rap's why I live, and the only other reason is for my kids. What's a hot track without a dope beat? It's like death row without the D-R-E. What would rap be without Snoop and Nas spitting the truth over 16 bars? What would rap be like without the game? 50 and M, it wouldn't be the same. Where would rap be at without Park and Q? Half of us gangsters wouldn't have shit to do. Man, I love hip-hop, it's taking me places. The game never changes, only the faces. The race is divine, you can place in time. Success is hard to find, what can happen if you grind? I'ma eat off rhyme, my time to shine. No more sideline, I'm out to get mine. I'm not from Compton, I grew up on Slauson, but rap is in my heart from South Central to Boston. I think better when the pressure's on, and I'm broke as a joke, facing a storm. I work harder in my room, depressed with this eviction notice, facing homelessness. I'm at my best right after I fail, and a judge tells me I gotta go back to jail. I'm real when I say rap's why I live, and the only other reason is for my kids. The pressure's obsessive, compulsive disorder. I rap for my daughter to have running water. My son's in my mind when I rhyme to my recorder. I'm kinda sorta very lucky, I think, cause real hustlers like me are a stink. All I need is some ink to tell you what I think. Half these rappers talk shit and their breath is stink. Man, they rinky dink with no street cred. Try to step to me, I'll put your ass to bed. I rep the dead, lost dad when I was 10. Got two kids and plan to be around for them. So I do what I do and I won't ever stop. There's only chosen few who rise to the top. Some rise, some flop, some stand tall. But the bigger they are, the harder they fall. I think better when the pressure's on, and I'm broke as a joke, facing a storm. I work harder in my room, depressed with this eviction notice, facing homelessness. I'm at my best right after I fail, and a judge tells me I gotta go back to jail. I'm real when I say rap's why I live, and the only other reason is for my kids.
You hear let loose. I'm just moving the moment to total improvement. I'm just saying I'm trying to beat at the total package. Humble and talented out of the struggle. Now I'm gonna balance it. And they say that I can't. And they say that I crack. Through the lights are too much on a mountaintop. Well, you lived in the dark for so long, I'm just tan. I look better with a glow. I'm unbreakable.
I'm unbreakable.
Success is to hold me. Your beautiful mama, you're everything I need. Family with me, still waters run deep. Now I'm in the know when there's evil around me. But now that you got me, nothing can stop. I see no big shot with a powerful army. I'm calling it love, man, the rest get the dub. I'ma say words with the goddess above. I look to the skies with love in my eyes. I'm unbreakable, I'm unbreakable.
Tristan on the track.
My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Facing this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me. Gain on, a bomb on my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Be patient, meet them head to head. I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stop and have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose.
The Shelly and Tuck Show. It's Ninja Sunday. I don't have a scheduled guest today, but I think I'm almost running on fumes here because I thought I was going to lay back down. I had a kind of a morning today. couldn't find my cell phone. I'm like, don't. I felt like Homer Simpson. I felt like doing a face palm like Jean-Luc Picard from, Star Trek there. And I'm actually, right now, I'm running around making pancakes live on the air. Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing right now. So I'm just doing my, just trying to check them in. Checking those bad boys out. You have this cute little pan right here, and you get to flip them, and they're cute little pancakes. You can make four at a time. Yum, yum, yum. So, I've learned, with cooking, and I am the worst cook in the whole world. I'm not going to lie. Not going to sit and lie about that. But what I'm learning is you can make, regular things, pancakes and stuff, without flour. So what I do is when I'm making the pancakes, and I'm trying to sit here and run the show without burning them, because I do that pretty often. I know, horrible, because I'm, Italian, and people assume that I can cook. Wrong. And part of me is, Irish, too, so it's kind of like, yeah, you probably can drink. Nope. That's it. Flat on my ass. I wanted to drink. Flat on my ass. Now, I ramble on when I don't have a guest on my show. Just talk. But seriously, I would be the woman getting arrested in Maine. You would hear me on the news. No, I'm not kidding. I would be the woman that, after a few drinks, I'd be running down the streets of Maine with no shirt on. Yes, just what I would need, Of course, it would be funny, things like that. At the moment, maybe it wouldn't be funny if you get arrested or stuff like that. So, yes, if I was drinking, I would be the person running down the street with no shirt on. So that's why I don't drink. Plus, I'm pretty much a lightweight, so I would pass out. True story, ladies and gentlemen. I was celebrating one of my idols, Jackie Chan's birthday. Now, having a few drinks. Woke up in the middle of the night, and I'm like, what the heck? I had no clothes on. Now, just hear me out. Nothing that happened, so I'm going, what the heck? I have a towel wrapped around my head, and I'm like touching the towel, and I'm like, my hair's all wet. So I'm in the middle of the night, and I know I fell asleep to a certain thing on my computer, and I woke up, and it was a totally different movie. Now, I know on Netflix, you can only, series play themselves. They'll automatically play themselves. This was another different movie. So I'm sitting here talking to my big sister Charlie on the internet, on Facebook, messaging, instant message, going back and forth. They're going, Charlie, I don't know what happened. I don't know where my shirt is. I don't know why I'm naked. No, true story. She's sitting there laughing at me. I go, are you with anyone? I'm like, no. I go, I had a few drinks, and next thing you know, I had no clothes on, and I'm like feeling my armpits. I shaved my armpits. Don't ask me how the heck I ended up doing this. Maybe I felt kind of like after so many drinks, I figured out the next day what happened, thinking back, with my stuff, because I'm like, you go to bed, and you wake up in the middle of the night with no clothes on, a towel wrapped around your head, and your armpits are shaved, and you fall asleep to a Jackie Chan film, and you wake up, and there's a cartoon movie playing. Okay, don't ask me how. First thing people are going to think, oh, you with the guy. No, I did this all on my own. So, yeah, I guess what had happened is I must have spilt it all over me, the drink all over me when I was drinking. And I think I was like, okay, I'm going to get into the shower instead of in the morning, instead of shaving my armpits, because I think I was going to wear a shirt the next day. Then I had to, figure since it was the middle of the night, it's almost time to get up. Maybe I'm going to, wear a shirt, showing off my armpits. Not that it's really a big thing, even if there's a little stubble, but you don't understand. For me, if I didn't shave, we'd have a problem. I would look like, I'm flipping the pancakes right now. Don't want to burn them. I'd look like a gorilla. I would look like Sasquatch. And you know what's really sad about that? I'm actually up in Maine, and there's sightings of Bigfoot and Sasquatch up in here. I don't want to be captured by those Bigfoot hunters because I've been to the Bigfoot Museum over in Portland, and that thing is huge. The statue they have is furry and huge, and I took a picture with it. Let's see. Hey. There's a caller in queue. Give me one moment. I got to take the pancakes off the heat here. Hold on. Let me see if shut the stove off. I don't want to be burning down the house live on the show and you guys hearing the news, you know, fire engine and stuff. And I'm like, hey, you little furball, cat's right here. Okay, give me one moment, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
What the hell does armpits have to do with being a stunt woman? I want to know.
Joe, how are you? You lovely man, you.
How you doing? You know what?
I'm doing well.
After listening to you for the last 3 minutes, because the reason I called in was because I found your show, and after listening, it's good. Don't worry about it, Sasquatch.
Yeah,
oh, my God. Jesus,
story.
I don't want to end up in the museum in Portland. All right. Now.
Sorry. How are you doing, Joe? You're such a sweetheart. I got to tell you, it's like I love when you call in once in a while. You've always been respectful, but you know, there I am. I just can't tell you. No, I was filming yesterday, but I got home late, and I didn't think I was going to do the show at my normal time. I've been trying to push it because it's been nice out and people are out, so I was trying to do it at night. But I was like, I got in late last night from filming. Right, mm-hmm. The film that I've been part of, and we're getting more and more into it. So I got in late last night, and I woke up this morning, and I couldn't find my phone. And I'm going, oh, crap, what am I going to do? I only have one phone. So then I go to find out. My kitten finds it. I'm like, what are you playing with? He found my phone. He was, like, looking down, and I was like, that's not
I hope it didn't cost you too much money dialing long distance.
No. He wasn't chewing on it. It was on the floor. He was batting it, you know, like batting it back and forth, like, what is this? Because they like to play things, you know.
Give
them
electronic gadgets, and they'll follow a laser beam from here to Alaska.
Yeah, I've got a laser pointer for him. And the funny thing is, my older cat Jackie Chan, she won't play with it anymore because she knows. Now, what he knows that I play with the laser pointer. It's me, but you know. He comes back and he hits my paw. He's like, no, make it go back a book because I want to chase it. So I'm like, this cat knows, but he still wants to play. So it's something for him to chase. So I'm like, okay.
Well, what cats do. Yeah,
he wants to play, but he gets into so many things. And he swings from the curtains. So you don't see all these things. And I was like,
He swings from the curtains.
Yes, what he does, he launches himself.
Yeah, I envision your cat swinging nunchucks. That's what I see him doing.
No, I swear to God, Joe, I'm not lying. I took pictures because I don't know if he has gnaws up his ass, you know, like Vin Diesel and the Fast and the Furious and the Cars, because they run around so crazy. So he runs real fast. He launches himself at the curtains, and next thing you know, he's swinging. And I took pictures of him clinging to the curtains, and I put it on my Facebook page. I am not kidding. This is what kittens do. And if me of all people, and this kitten, you know what I named this kitten?
Oh, boy.
I actually named him Rocky Balboa.
Oh, well, all right. Well, Jackie Chan, Rocky Balboa, almost in the same category. Sure, you know.
Yeah, and I thought it was cute because it's actually a respect thing because to what to give, you know, someone a grade on it because people consider their pets, you know, part of their family, and that's high regards and thinking it's like, it's my cat. You love them, and if you love them that much, you give the honor of the people that have inspired me my whole life. Jackie Chan was the first cat. The second cat is Rocky Balboa. And so,
that reminds me. The conversation we had the very first time we talked was about Rocky.
Yeah, I remember that about you. See, that stuck in my mind, and I was, so this right here, you know, I call him that, but the little stinker, when he's naughty, when he's all souped up. Right now, he's all passed out on my lap right now. Like, he's trying to fall asleep on my lap because he ran out of energy while I'm trying to do things here. But he acts like Stitch from Lilo and Stitch with Disney. So he does that. And I'm like, you're a little gremlin, you little stinker. And then he drives the bigger cat crazy. He drives her up on the wall, and he pounces on her. And she's like, man, I want to deal with this crap.
Well, you know, Jackie and Rocky. Hey, what can you expect?
Yeah.
You know what? I wanted to tell
you
that I came across something a couple of weeks ago. Guess what I came across? I came across a video of you being interviewed, and do you remember, I forget who was interviewing you. It was about stunts, and as a result, somebody said, go get them, and you were in a bar or in a lounge or something like that. and you jumped on top of the guy who was interviewing you. Remember that?
Yes, I posted that quite a few times. It's an interview with my friend Mark Allen Wood and John Rizzo, and it was my first interview. I had no idea what to do. And this was like I went to a film festival when I was still back in Boston, and they knew how, like, this is what I used to do when I, like, had interviews. I would, you know, people like, okay, hey, you know, take down that person. And I was like, I didn't know what to do, how you're supposed to act in an interview. I just wing everything because, you know, I don't know what to do. No one, you know, when I got into a little bit of acting and stuff, I don't know things, so I wing it. And I guess the guy, Mark, he used to, he does all these shows and interviews. Mm-hmm. And he actually, he's been at the, like, interview, I think he gets into, like, the garden with all the wrestlers, like, free and such, and all these things and all these events. Mm-hmm. So John was like, yeah, take him down. You know, this is the first time I met these guys, and it's just so funny. I go, really? You want me to do that? So I was like, I'm in a dress, and I'm in heels. And I'm like, okay, so what you guys didn't see is I slipped my, with my feet, I slipped my shoes off while we were talking. And it's like I was kind of nervous. I had no idea what to do in talking. So I was like, okay. And I go, you really want me to do that? And John's like, the one that was into me, he's like, yeah. And says, okay, so I knocked him down.
He was egging you on, all right. You know what I was thinking as a result of that, and as a result of listening to you for the, you know, for the first 3 minutes of the show, this is what I envision you doing. If you ever want to give up being a stunt woman, you might, I don't know, you might have aspirations to be an actor. Have you ever thought about doing light comedy? Because I think that's natural for you.
Yes, I've done comedy. I've done stand-up back in Boston. It's just
Okay.
Yeah, no, I did that. I started getting into that, and I was open mic nights, and I was doing that. The funny thing, there's a couple things that did happen when I started doing it. And I'm thinking about moving out to California, and I have a lot of friends out there now, a lot of the stunt community that's connected with a lot of people now. And I want to move to San Diego because of the weather. I don't want to be in the winter, and there's more comedy out there, and people that have been at the comedy clubs that are out there that have been in the stunt community, and they tell me about it and show me their demos and stuff. I was like, I'd love to do that. So when I started doing it, two things happened. It was really funny. These are true stories. I'm not making this up.
Oh, God, here we go.
Yeah, this is part of the same night. This
is stuff
that really
happens. The truth is going to be worse than fiction.
Yeah, but it's like, it's the true stuff, which is really funny. You can't make this stuff up. What happened, the funny thing is, it's a cute story, and it's a funny story. When I was doing my stand-up, now, I'm very, very animated. I'm fast, and I don't talk. You know how women, people tell stories? I don't breathe. So I talk even faster than when I do on the radio show because you're live and people are standing, staring at you. It's not like in and stuff. You're up there by yourself and you've got this mic and people are just staring at you. It's kind of really nervous because it's almost, you know, you have this stick. So I go like really fast because I'm so nervous. And what happened, because I was talking about, I want to be in the streets of Boston with ATVs with Jackie Chan, and I could just in picture, like, Jackie Chan yelling at me, Shelley, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, yelling because of how crazy I am, and it's, like, just going on. This guy, I guess he was a little bit too much drunk. He laughed so hard when I was up there for the few minutes I was. He fell off a bar stool, and you heard him hit the floor. He was laughing so hard, and I was like, okay, I guess the guy fell down. So this is what happens during stuff that I do. People fall down off their bar stools, and I'm like, I think they get injured. I don't know, but that really did happen. But
especially if you hear the thud. You know, I don't know how you are on stand-up, but I can see you doing situation comedy.
Yeah, that's. I mean, seriously, I could do that. And another thing is, on top of that, to add to the story, my friend Becky, I haven't seen her for a while, but we did dinner theater, the clatter thing, together, and she was a bride with me in the show. Well, this is the special part of the show. That same night with a guy that fell off the bar stool, she was on her first date, you know, with this guy. And the funny thing is, their first date was my show, right?
Right.
So go to find out, they ended up getting married, and she's like, yeah, Shelly, you're first. You had like this. She said she had this wonderful first date, and her first date ended up. That's her husband now. She's like, you brought us together, Shelly. And I was like, no. And she's like, yes. And I'm like, oh, my God.
See, you're a romantic catalyst.
You know, and that was another true story out of that night. And it's like I had her as a guest, and she told it live on the air. And I'm like, are you kidding me? My craziness is bringing people together and helping them to get married. You know,
yeah, but nobody
ever
thought it happened at a comedy club, right?
No. It's like I said, hey, well, bringing people together, you know, the Shelly on Chuck Comedy Hour. Maybe that I should start a company. My comedy will bring you together, and you'll find your man.
That's right.
You know?
Comedy mate.
Maybe, you know, it's never been done, but being crazy because, you know, people go out on the same dates. What do? They go out to dinner. They go to the movies. They have to spend tons of money. Mm-hmm. You go to a comedy place. You spend a little money. You have a little drinks. And I think laughter brings people together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all the stuff
together.
Romantic dreams are made of. Thud.
Yeah.
Guy falls off.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, just bring people together. I mean, laughter is the best medicine. The other thing, too, is like when I did, you know how I got into acting? I had really no experience. Mm-hmm. I got into dinner theater. They picked me for it, and I was getting paid. It was $25 an hour. And this is like, that's what a professional is. They get paid for acting. So I was actually, my first thing I did, shows in dinner theater, I was getting paid $25 an hour. It wasn't so much what I was getting paid, but the thing, another special thing, these are things that are special that comes up from, you know, being a part of the show. You know, I've learned that when you're doing dinner comedy theater, okay, or any stand-up or something like that, what you're kind of doing is taking people who are having problems or having a bad day, you're giving them, you know, taking away for a couple hours to help people breathe. What had happened during one of the shows is, and this is a true story, I think I still have the emails, is that during one of the dinner theater shows, now we don't know who comes to the shows and stuff like that, but this woman, I guess she saw the show, and her husband had passed away at the time. And when she, like, I guess her husband said for her to go and celebrate her birthday. So she went to celebrate her birthday. She had so much fun at our dinner theater show. She laughed so much. She came back again, and she brought her son. And she sent us an email. So this is something that we've called me and stuff that doing. It's like if you're doing your dream, which is really, you know, an awesome thing, you get paid for it, which is cool. And then if you're giving back to people, I mean, that's like a triple, you know, a triple header right there. That's three things. You know, they say things, good things come in threes.
Right.
And that's, I think it's a wonderful thing that if you're doing your dreams and people are enjoying it. So it's just, there's got to be something, you know, I'm not
well,
doing
in other words,
stress,
you're feeling,
you know?
Yeah, you get some kind of rewarding feeling out of it, right?
Yeah, and I'm being crazy. You know, I played drunks pretty well because I would get a bottle from the bar. And, I, you know, it's just really strange that I can play a drunk really well, and you're filling up the water and playing that drunk, but I guess during one of our shows, this is another true story. I hope you're ready for this, Joe. I hope you're really, really ready for this.
Oh, God.
This is up in Kowloon, back in Boston. This place called Kowloon's Restaurant. And they have comedy clubs, and a lot of famous people have been there. And we would do a show next door to the comedians while we're doing our show. Now, mind you, I'm wearing this god-awful gold dress. Right? And I've got these things which I call my hooker heels. They make me over 6 feet tall. I wear the hair, I was wearing the hair up really, like, big. So I'm, like, over 6 feet tall. I'm this towering, like, idiot bridesmaid that's crying all over the place, getting drunk, crying, running after the guys in the show, and just being a total goof. Now, mind you, I'm not going to say the name of the comedian, but he had his entourage with them at this time. And it's just crazy stuff that happened. Now, I guess some of the guys had guns on them. This is a friggin' true story. And it's just kind of scary because part of the show, we have a siren going off. Okay, that's like the end of the show.
Okay.
So, now, like, the rooms are next to each other. So the owner, okay, he's actually was part of the show. And a guy from the comedian's entourage comes in during the show hearing the siren. He's ready to pull something out of his pants. And the glass they spoke, they thought this was really the cops, and he was going to pull a gun out of his pants. And they had to go up to him and says, dude, this is part of the show. And he's like, oh, okay. And it's like, oh, my God. And so it's like, then, like, all this other stuff, too, that happened during the show. So one of the guys that was, like, my boyfriend, his name is Sean.
Uh-huh.
And I would play off of him. He played a drunk so well. He almost got arrested during the show. He would go out before the show. You have to stay in characters before the show and through the whole show. So Sean would go around outside in the parking lot and try to open up the cars to slip the handle act drunk. So then on top of this, you know, they would go outside for a cigarette butt, and this woman played the mama nana, and she's outside. So he's staying in character. Now, they're wearing these god-awful costumes. I mean, how can you not understand that these are characters and think that these are real people in a Chinese food restaurant and any Asian restaurant? They're outside, so this comedian's entourage is outside. So he's acting all drunk, and he's like, he plays like Mickey, and it's like, so you have to stay in character. You can't break him no matter what. And so the guys, the entourage, were getting mad at Mickey, and they said they were going to beat him up. Like, they were meaning this. And she was like, she actually had to break character. And she's whispering, dude, listen, this is just a character. Like, she's trying to tell them this is not real. So then on top of that, the police that were there, because there's always a police officer there, came up to, like, wonder who was in charge of the show. And they're like, they're ready to, like, arrest him. They're saying, this guy is drunk. And they're like, yeah, that's part of his character. So he almost got arrested by the cops.
Ah, he was doing,
like,
such a good job.
Yeah, so they really were going to arrest him and take him away. And he's like, this is just acting. So all this crazy stuff would happen, and there was just, like, other things, too. Like, during one of the shows, now, people drink, and you have to stay in character and stay on your feet. Well, afterwards, you know, the actors would come together, and I don't like to fight, but at the time I was training, so I've learned that in a couple times where, I don't want to say anything, I'm just like, I just know basic martial arts, and for your friends, you would just stand up for them, and it's like, I'm not an expert or anything like that, and it just happened where I flipped the switch inside, and I guess the owner, we were in a bar, and this girl was hitting on him and trying to, I think, put her hands down his pants and stuff. He's like, whoa, you know, cut it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the aunt was there, and I'm sitting there with my friends, and like, Shelly, they got these crazy women over there, bowing so-and-so. And
they
I'm like
you to break it up.
Oh,
okay.
And it's like, I stood up, and I'm like, whoa! You know, and they're like, they're trying to hold me back. And I'm like, what? Like, it flipped a switch. And it's like, it's only happened to me one other time. And I don't know. I could get my butt kicked, you know, not thinking of something like that. But, you know, when something happens, so I'm there, and I'm standing next to him, and they had to pull these women away. Like, the aunt was like, come on, let's go. And she was stuck. The niece, I don't even know how old she was. I think she was underage, and she was starting trouble. So the aunt pulled the girl away. And I'm going, and I was so shaking, and I'm like, I didn't know what the heck was going to happen, because I was like, you know, I could have gone shot, I could have got stabbed, I could have got my butt kicked, but you're just there, you know, I mean, you don't know, you really
well,
don't know.
I've done that, I've intervened in strangers' arguments, and I've done it about four or five times now that I'm, you know, past 40. I've learned from my lessons. I don't want to get stabbed for being a good Samaritan.
No, you don't. That's why you try to stay away from it, but we were there together. And, you know, it's the older women. They're like, oh, my God, Shelly, and they were nervous. I don't know why people come to get me, because I could, like, I try to stay away from, like, bars and stuff as so much as I can now that I'm older, because I understand. I don't like to fight. I probably can get my butt kicked and get kicked good, because I take good beatings. I take really good beatings. I hate
you
to
take
miss
good
that,
beatings.
No, seriously, because, you know, being thrown around on set, I you know, you got to get beat up a little bit. You know, that's what really happens, and I learned that I can take a good beating on set. You know, even though most of it, but I've actually been thrown around on set without any protective gear, and I bounced off the ground, so it's like, I've been kicked in the head, you know.
Sure. Right. It's a talent, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's
you know, you get into a fight, somebody kicks you, you know, you feel like Wolverine, you heal up quickly, and you go, and you go back into the fray.
Well, I don't know if you can hear, if I heal up quickly, but there's something that's supposed to happen in August. I don't know if I can get back down to Boston, because this is the reason why, like, I'm trying to get things together for my show, like get sponsors and placement ads and stuff. I get invited to work on a set, and it's called Blue Swain in the Sky. Junior Hepburn has been asking me to work on this thing, you know, just to be there in, like, a scene. And I was like, okay. Uh-huh. Go to find out. He's got Cynthia Rothrock. And,
no kidding. Other,
yeah.
Yeah,
he's got
her.
And
I
like
her.
I'm like, yeah. I said, well, you know, have her kick me in the head.
Nah,
you know, everybody would be, you know, no, this is what I told him. He's, like, laughing because I said, it's Cynthia Rothrock. So I'm like, you know, just me having the, being a wise ass, have her kick me in the head and take me down. You know, I wouldn't be mind being known by all these popular people getting kicked in the head.
Okay,
you're in a
kicked
scene.
In the head by Cynthia.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind having, I wouldn't mind doing something else with Cynthia because,
I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, if I'm
know
known. You know, it's like you get picked up, thrown. It's like you're working with these top people. It's like, hey, I was on set. I got kicked in the head. Now, it wouldn't be normal for anybody else. They'd be, like, looking at you because you're not really kicked in the head. It's all, like, choreographed, right? Mm-hmm. So then there's another guy. Let me pull up the page here. There's another really big guy on there. And I was like, how is this guy getting these people? But let me just find, he's parkour.
What kind
he's
of martial arts
name.
Does she practice? Because I like the way that she moves in the movies. I know she's a black belt.
I think she learned quite a few things.
Oh, okay.
Like quite a few things. Oh, Scott Adkins. I don't know if you know who Scott Adkins is.
Scott Adkins.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't ring a bell.
If you looked him up, well, if you saw a picture of him or something, you he's undisputed. What was it? You know the film Undisputed that he has his part one or part two. He was in that. I think he played a Russian guy.
Okay.
If you see him, I'm trying to think of the things off the top of my head, but he's another big name.
Mm-hmm.
excuse me, I'm like sitting here eating pancakes talking to you.
Yeah, I know. You were fixing them before.
Yeah, I was like fixing them. Yeah, I'm sitting here talking to you. It's like, yeah.
Oh, you know what? You know who else is on BTR right now? Dee Wallace.
Serious? So the one, the mom? You know
the one? Yeah, the one who did ET and she has a show all the time. She's into spirituality and all that kind of thing. She's on right now. Yeah.
Oh wow! You should have a call up and say, hey, call my friend Sheila Zizek. I only have one phone. I can't call her. I'm like, hey, you're the only one to hear. That'd be funny. But then
I know. Wouldn't that
you
be
know?
Something? She probably has, I don't know. I mean, I come across the show every once in a while because I like to go through BTR and try to find some shows, you know, like I talked to you about before, relationships and politics. So, you know, she's been around for about a couple of years now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They didn't know that? It's just, like, it's amazing with the internet. I mean, people get their followings, and, you know, like, with my show, I just checked the stats this morning. It's almost up to a total of 85,000 people.
85,000 people? No kidding.
Yeah, it's a total altogether, because I've been doing almost for 2 years. I mean, you remember when I started, but looking at the stats, it's almost 85,000 people I've listened to on my shows.
Wow, nice.
That crazy? I'm just like,
that's
damn,
nice. I mean,
somebody...
Yeah, it's BTR, you know, so it's nice, yeah.
Well, I didn't expect that at all. It's like the way it's going, the way the people that I'm getting on my network, I'm also preserving history. Because the way I'm going and, you know, making connections, it's the grandmasters in martial arts that I'm now getting on my show because these are the people that... I taught people, you know, in Hollywood, actors, and they're even more highly respected than, you know, A-listed actors.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing, too, that with the grandmasters, they're just as important as anybody else.
Right.
You know, and with the actors, because they teach these people. And I'm like, wow, they're spending time with me on my show and getting the words of these people. It's really interesting about their lives. And I'm sitting going, you know, I cannot believe I'm getting these people for my
you
show
know,
at all.
You know what the sign is when a person feels very comfortable on the radio?
The
when they
song?
Talk to you and they eat at the same time. Then you know that they're very comfortable being a radio host.
You know what's even comfortable even more?
What's that?
Is when you're in the bathroom.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, tell everybody you're shaving your armpits too. That'll make the ratings go back up.
Yeah. See, you just happen to call because you just happen to call on the day I'm talking about shaving my armpits and not even wearing. I'm just rambling on. That's what I'm doing. It seems like to make the best shows when I'm just rambling on like crazy stuff because, you know, I'm a little nuts.
That's why I'm saying I think I could see you in light comedy. I could see you doing a pilot. Maybe about stunt actresses. Why not?
But it's everything. You know what it all comes down to. You can have the greatest ideas, but you got to get the money. You know what I'm saying? Well, you don't have to produce it.
I mean, you know, you make a treatment, and then you give it to somebody that you know. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, that would be some. That's kind of an idea, right there. But the thing is, too. Kind of the stuff that I'm in contact with people in Hollywood, like, you know, like Don the Dragon Wilson.
Right.
I don't know if
I've heard
of him.
Yeah. He's been around
a long
time.
He's a living legend. Yeah. He's doing a film now. I think they're almost done with it, called The Martial Arts Kid. Cynthia Rothrock is in that.
Uh-huh.
And I've had, you know, being in contact with them. And the thing is, what I did with Don, now, his bloodline is Japanese, right? And he's in all these tried films. And I can't believe no one in Hollywood has thought of this. I looked at Don, and I'm like, man, he could pass as a samurai warrior. You know, he's tall and stuff like that. I could picture him in a suit. So what I did is I took a program, and I took a picture of a samurai, and I took Don's head and put it in the samurai body. And I showed him that, and he loved it. I said, yeah, I can picture you as a samurai, Don. And he's like, oh, I really love it. And I just cannot believe that no one thought of this because, you know, he also is Japanese. And a samurai, even though I've been learning that there's been, you know, a black samurai, there's different people and stuff, like women in history and learning things, and I'm going, you know, no one pictured that. So then I looked at, you know, Don and his son, who I had on my show, Jonathan Hiroshi Wilson. I had him on my show, so I took Jonathan's head, and I put his in a samurai body. And they're like, oh, my God, this is awesome. And this is like, you know, these are the things that I've seen, you know, myself, and looking at other people I could picture as ninjas that taught, you know, Douglas Wong. He's taught, like, Kevin Sorbo, Lucy Lawless, Ryan Gosling
Jr. Oh, Kevin
Jr.
Sorbo. Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, all these people. And I pictured him as the wise older man. And his son, Travis Wong, which he's like, he's the next generation of a, he's a highly regarded stunt guy. You can't not make friends with him on Facebook because he's at his limit. He can't make any more friends because he's so over the limit of his Facebook. He's highly, you know, wanted for many things. He worked, like, with J-Lo on a video, Follow the Leader. He was, like, behind the camera, though. And he's worked on a G.I. Joe movie. And I'm like, I could picture them as on a team called Team Ninja. Like, I'm thinking all these things. And then, you know, all these things that I'm thinking of is, like, you know, it's all coming to mind, and I just know that if I, you know, people, what I do know is that people like to put their money where there's named people. And knowing people, that's half the battle. And I understand people want to get paid, and it's like I'm learning as, it's almost kind of like business, like I know people, you know, want to make back in their films and stuff like that, and I'm thinking, well, you know, getting ideas because everybody's, you know, remaking everything nowadays. You know, what would my ideas? I don't have anything to lose. You present your ideas and stuff. I'm not talking about what my plot is, you know, publicly for something that I want to do. All I'm saying is that it's called The Funeral War, and it's going to have ninjas and samurais in it. And I'm going to be in the film, and I already picked, you know, like, you know, all my people back in Boston, they're going to die a very horrible death by ninjas. Back in, I told all my friends, this is, look, I'll put you guys in the film back in Boston. It's going to leave. There's going to be a reason why I go off to California. But everyone's going to be brutally slaughtered. Sorry, said to, like, my big sister, says, you want to be in the film? And she's like, I says, yeah, I want to kill you off really good. So if I kill you off really good, that's because I love them more. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like loving
people
more.
Yeah, don't make them suffer.
Like, so,
sure.
I'm having a bloody slaughter fest in Boston. When I talk like this, it freaks people out because it's, I'm going to have people die a morbid death. And people are like, oh, my God, it freaks people out when I talk like this, but it's filming. It's not real life. It's an artistic kind of bloody way, and people just cannot get that. It's like, not like that in real life.
Something?
It's acting, you know?
You know something? You talk about people who just can't tell the difference between reality and fantasy. Did you hear the story about James Gandolfini? before we die.
Wait a minute. The guy from Sopranos?
The guy, yeah, the guy that played Tony on Sopranos. He
mm-hmm.
was in a restaurant. Okay, now what happened? He didn't tell us. I didn't hear it from him. I heard it from his, from his lawyer or his agent. His agent, after he died, this guy came on the radio. And he told the story where Gandolfini was in a restaurant, and two Goombas come up to him, and they actually think that he is a Don, and they want him and them to, that's right, to get together and do a heist.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's how stupid some of these people are. All right? And you know how people are when they get attached to it, like, say, a soap opera actor or a big screen or silver screen actor, and they, you know, the person's only playing a character, but then they get pissed off at the person, the actor, for betraying the character in such a good way that people come up and say, how dare you do that? What kind of person are you that you would do something like that? You feel like smacking these people. Don't you understand that all this is just acting? Acting.
Yeah, not like that in real life, because they said he was a real guy that, you know, James Gandolfini was a bartender, you know, mm-hmm. to support himself, and he just landed this wonderful role, which he did really well. He was a great actor. It's, mm-hmm. you know, we lost him at a young age, which was really sad. He really wasn't, you know, that old.
He's only about,
really,
yeah, 46, something like that, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he was that much older than me, and I'm sitting here going, oh, my God, you've got to be kidding me. It's just,
well, look, you're not
surreal.
As fat as he was. I mean, he had a reputation for downing liquor, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard, but you've got to keep in mind sometimes people that do have weight on them. I mean, look at Jackie Chan's brother, his older brother, Sammo. He's a big guy, but he can move. Yeah, that's one of his big brothers that grew up in the academy with him, and he's a big guy, and he can move. Look at those Ip Man films. They have him on wires, and he's fooling around up on the table with Donnie Yen, but it's like he's always been a big guy, but I guess on the inside, how you take care of yourself, you could be the skinniest person in the world.
That's right.
Yeah, you could be skinny, like really skinny, and not be healthy. It was like, how is your, you know, blood? I mean, you know, having problems, and people don't know what's on the inside of someone. But, you know, James, I mean, he loved life. He ate.
He loved vodka.
But it's like if you look at what's his name, George Burns, he did like everything. You know, he had like, you know, it's kind of crazy. It's like he smoked cigars. He was like in his 90s.
He smoked like 2 cigars a day or something like that, or 3 cigars or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too, during his time. I don't think food was as much processed, do you know what I'm saying, as it was back then, as it is now. So there's a big difference in the foods nowadays.
There's a big difference in lifespan, too. You know something? I did this, and I was noticing this a few months ago. I was taking a look at the IMDb website, and I was taking a look at some old actors, and I was taking a look at some younger actors. And I noticed that the actors who were born in, like, 1909 through about 1921, around the, you know, during that era, they lived to be 80s and 90s. But the actors who came after that, the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, et cetera, they lived to be like 73, 74, 75. Not many actors afterwards come to the age of 80. So you've hit on a very important point, because back then food wasn't as processed as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And when they ate, they actually ate a healthier diet.
Yeah, I'm kind of guilty, too, of not eating healthy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just the way it is. But I've been finding out, and like I said, I'm a terrible cook, and I'm Italian. People assume because I'm hot Italian, I'm a wonderful cook. They go, no, I don't invite anybody to cook over my house because I'd probably give them food poison. So I'm like, no, I'm not going to cook for you. And it's like, I'm being honest. This is, yeah, buy takeout. I don't know what can I tell people.
Let's go out on a date. Buy takeout, bring it with us to the movies. Okay.
No, actually, I've done that before. You don't even know. I snuck food, and I snuck in roast beef sandwiches in the movie theater. Because a woman can bring a bag, you know? And it's you can go and enjoy it. And it's like, it's on the back. You sit there, and you open it up, and you have a nice roast beef sandwich. Yeah.
You are smelling and wanting to find out what you're eating. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's nice, you know? You're sneaking in, and it's... There was a places back in Boston, there was a couple of roast beef places that I loved, and there was only like not even $5 for a roast beef sandwich, and they give you some really good roast beef that I'd be smuggling in mm-hmm. the bigger bags have, you know, because I don't look like a troublemaker or something, and they're not going to, like, I mean, during September 11th, they frisked your bags, but after that, you know, they're not going to bother. Plus, I went there all the time, so they recognize your face. They're not going to bother you. You're not a troublemaker. So, you know, when someone recognizes your face and know who you are, they're not going to bother you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something, too. I would love to smuggle something like a whole Thanksgiving dinner in the movie theater. Just smuggle a whole turkey.
Sure, just bring your friends. Bring four. Yeah, don't forget the candles. Yeah, it'd be great.
Just get the sweet potatoes. You know,
sure.
Corn on the cob.
A little bit of wine. Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine that. Right. You know, don't forget
after
your cat, too.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Look, I'm going to let you go, all right? So I'll see you next time, next show or next show after that or whenever. Okay? All right, Shelly.
Well, thanks for supporting the show. Have a good day.
You too. Talk to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's funny. Joe's been with me since the beginning. Well, you know, he calls it every now and then. He's been pretty cool. It's just really funny, the stories. It just seems like he always seems to call when I got the craziest stories to tell. But they're true. I swear they're true. The things that happen to me, and it's like, I'm only feeling you in checks. But, wow. Humana here. Look at this. Time has flown by. See, when I talk. You know, and you got someone to talk to, the time goes by so fast. I can't believe Ninja Sunday's already over with. So what I'm going to do, you know, I'll be getting more guests for my show, and I'm losing my voice here. Maybe I should take a nap because I'm all so tight. Anyway, I'm going to end the show with Unbreakable, and just remember those out there. Anybody that has a dream, you go for it because you're as good as many, blah, 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 blah. I need some more coffee. You're as good as anybody else, so I'm going to finish eating my pancakes. Everyone, have a good weekend.
I'm unbreakable, can't break what's broken. Gonna shoot the stars, the sunroof's open. Let it shine on me, let
can't
it rain on down.
Broken.
I'm on my way, you hear that sound.
Success is to hold me. Your beautiful mama, you're everything I need.